Thank you for tuning in to the Kingdom Over Castle podcast, where we seek to unite God's people in Northern Nevada in order to see lives changed and lives saved. We have a great opportunity right now to make a difference in our communities, but it's going to take all of us. It's important that every Jesus follower is fully committed to a local church body while also celebrating and supporting fellow evangelical church bodies in the area. In the Kingdom Over Castle podcast, we celebrate what God is doing in our area and seek to inform God's people of opportunities to make a difference for Christ here and now in Northern Nevada.
We are your church. We pray revive this earth.
I am here with Kyle from Life Point Church. Kyle, give us a little, who are you, first of all?
Derek, it's good to be here with you. I appreciate you spending some time with me. I'm like yourself. I'm a fellow pastor. I'm one of the co-lead pastors at Life Point Church. And man, I appreciate your heart behind all this. And it's really, I just get to represent our church during this interview, but I appreciate your heart for church unity, and this is hopefully something that'll help with that.
Awesome. Now, how long have you been? This isn't even on our list of questions. How long have you been here in the area?
I got here January of 2019, and so January next year, I think of 21st or so, will be 4 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you came at a really good time for church life.
I did. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. Just prior to the pandemic. Okay, yep. So, I like to think I'm on like my first year, because your first year, you experience everything. Second year, you hopefully have some experience under your belt, but then the pandemic hit and then everything changed year to year. So I'm on my first year. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about the history of Life Point Church.
Yeah, normally my co-lead pastor, and I'll talk about that a little bit next, tells this story, but a very short history about this. He likes to say that our church at one time was called the Church of Guns and Roses, because we started at the Ormsby House in downtown Carson City, and it had has a rose on the side. And so we started there a long time ago. John Jackson is our founder. He's the president over at William Jessup now. And he founded it and wanted to found a big church here. And people said, can't be done. People don't go to church that much around here. And he basically said, challenge accepted. So we started a few different places, been in a few different warehouses, have changed leaders over the years, and just had some unique things along the way that has kind of progressed us forward to today. But yeah, interesting kind of history.
Yeah. That leads to the next one, though. What makes Life Point Church unique here in the Valley?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenging question, and because, no church hopefully is so unique that they don't look like a church. We have shared values, and Christ is the head of the church. I mean, maybe some defining factors that don't make us better, but just different. We have a co-lead pastor model, and so that is something that a lot of churches don't have, and so people have questions about that all the time. And then we also have a robust counseling program here. I don't do that. I'm not a great counselor. Don't ask me to do that. But we've had some really great pastors over the years, Tammy and Roy, Jacob, who's an elder here for a little while. They just poured into this program. I think we were actually the first church in Northern Nevada to have a counseling program.
Okay.
And we've had the benefit of having other churches come over and say, hey, will you take us through your biblical counseling training?
Yeah.
Which is 8 or 9 months long. And we have incredibly dedicated people to go through that. And they come out just incredible. So I would say that. And then one thing we joke is that our location, we're equally inconvenient for people in Minden, Gardnerville, and Carson. Yep. And so we're right in the middle. And so we're just a warehouse kind of out off Stephanie Road. And then beyond that,
Stephanie Lane.
Right. I should know that.
You should
lived
know that.
Here 4 years now. So Stephanie Lane. And, what else makes us unique?
Well, with the counseling that you mentioned, does that include the STEP programs? I know you have STEP programs.
Yeah, there are support and recovery. We have a lot of mental health groups as well. So support and recovery is probably more addiction based, helping people get freedom from that. And then we also have biblical counseling, so people who may not be able to afford or maybe just want a Christian counselor, they can go through that with us. And there are lots of people who want to go through the extensive program to become counselors. And then we have all sorts of groups for helping people through grief, through anguish, through loss, some addictions and other stuff. So it's pretty multifaceted.
Yeah. Now, how about the person listening and they said, oh, an addiction group or whatever sounds great. My church doesn't have that, or I'm not part of a church. Is that open to people not currently calling LifePoint home?
Oh yeah, definitely. We don't do it. You know, it's not like a membership thing. Like we do believe probably like your church and every other church is, you know, if we can help, we will.
Yeah.
And the people who do it here don't do it because they're part of LifePoint. They do it because they're part of the body of Christ.
I love that.
And so they just happen to go here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we take people in as much as we can. And sometimes we kind of tell people, hey, you may need more professional help outside. So we have people that we refer to. But yeah, we have people who don't go to church here or anywhere get counseling because they really care about helping.
I love it. On that vein, maybe there's a different answer, maybe not. What is LifePoint doing to make a difference in the community?
Man, this is such a good question to allow me to brag about our staff.
Good.
Because I just talk on Sundays and, you know, our staff, our pastors, our directors, you know, they do a lot of this and I just get to share it. And so, I mean, one of the ways is we do community engagement. You know, one of our staff members, Holly, who does more in a day than I think I do in a week. You know, she engages with Northern Nevada Dream Center, Fish, shelters around the area, socks and gloves, and she mobilizes an incredible amount of people who do everything from get school supplies to schools with other partner churches, resources for people, Christmas gifts around Christmas time. Just basic necessities for people. So that's one. Another is, you know, just probably like your church and a lot of others, provide a safe place for kids and students.
Sure.
You know, schools can be a challenge sometimes.
Yep.
You know, both with, you know, things that they talk about or just, you know, middle school is rough. My son's in middle school.
Okay.
And so having a place where they're, you know, safe and they can, you know, talk about their faith and stuff like that is a really good thing. So probably kind of like your church, our youth and our students program is a good one as well.
Yep.
You know, beyond that, you know, we try to be a place, you know, where people can get counseling as well. Sometimes financial help. You know, we have a lot of people who like to donate to benevolence. And so we get to do that from time to time.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the other ways is we just, like your church, we bring the gospel. And so we think the greatest hope and difference we can make in the community is connecting someone to Christ.
Absolutely. No, I love that. Well, and so, you know, it's kind of neat for the listener out there, you know, this podcast is Kingdom Over Castle. And I actually live right down the road from LifePoint. And so driving past LifePoint is really one of those that God started working on me with a focus on how much do you care about that? You don't go there. But I just started praying for LifePoint every time I drove past, just praying that God would do. And he did something in my heart with that. I'm not sure my prayers were impactful here, but they sure were on my heart. One of the things I remember driving by, do you still do the wood cutting?
We do. Yeah, we have a wood cutting ministry. Those guys love it. We've got a huge machine out there. They provide quarts of wood. I can't remember what the exact measurement is, but you know, they're home warmers and they provide that to a lot of people. They do it.
That's a big deal. I mean, I remember coming over and helping at times do some of the chopping. But with energy prices and all of that, I'll bet this year is big for that.
Yeah. Yeah. They enjoy having people volunteer. They enjoy providing it. We've got a lot of wood out there.
Do you?
Yeah, a lot. They bring in trees on flatbed trucks and they chop it all up. It's incredible how they do it.
So thinking about, you know, our area, again, we want to focus on our area, but what are the needs you see in Northern Nevada that we as Jesus followers can meet?
Yeah, I mean, not being from here, there's a lot of observations you can make, even just stepping off a plane, you know, casinos, different types of addiction that may not be other places, things that are allowed here that are not. So in terms of like,
wait, there's things allowed here in Nevada that aren't that other places.
It is a unique place. You know, one weird thing is this is the only state in the United States that I have to get a different marriage license for in order to marry people. So it's crazy. So, the Jesus followers can meet, I mean, everywhere needs community. Everywhere needs Christ, obviously. Yep. I think with some of the uniqueness here is that like a desire to help people in addiction, I think, is really a big deal. Alcohol, drugs, gambling, yep. Pornography. And then also just some of the unique things here, like prostitution and human trafficking. Those are some huge things that are that most people want to look away from,
sure.
rather than want to, you know, pick up a shovel or extend a hand. And so being able to see the value of people because they're made in the image of God, no matter what they look like.
Yeah. Or what they're stuck in.
Or what they're stuck in, yeah. Because yeah. a lot of those things yep. I named, you know, they're not good to the human body or the soul.
Absolutely.
And they're crushing. And so it's hard often to extend a hand to people
yeah.
who either look sound or stunted in those ways because of that. So I think just being willing to be in a community that's unique in that sense and seeing things that other people don't want to see, you know, we have to go first.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go to those places. I mean, that's what Christ did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hard things. Absolutely. Well, so with that, are you aware of any organizations that people should know about? If they hear, oh, okay, the prostitution, some of those things. Are there organizations you're aware of that are trying to serve that we can partner with?
Yeah, Awaken is a good one.
Awaken
here, they do a great job. We partner with them, and that's basically to say is they, you know, we try to provide them resources and people. They do the work, and they have an incredible ministry, and they do a thing every year to kind of bring awareness to this dynamic. Mm. I mean, Northern Nevada Dream Center doesn't deal with that specifically, but they do provide resources
yep.
As well. Some of it is also just to be on the lookout, you know, as well. If you go into some airports, you'll see signs there. And so just to be on the lookout. But yeah, Awaken's a great one.
Okay. Well, we'll include a link to Awaken in the show notes if you want to hear more about Awaken. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So here's the hard question. Here's the personal question. Because LifePoint is not a new church. Mm-hmm. It's been around a while, 30 yep. years,
more? 20, it'll be 25 in
okay.
February.
Yeah. 25 years. So again, we know that there's no such thing as a perfect church. How has or is LifePoint addressing or adjusting from previous shortcomings or mistakes?
Well, it's an easy question from the fact of like, which mistake do you pick? It's just so many of them. I mean, any leader in any field is going to say, hey, I wish I could take back things.
And, yep.
I mean, I think COVID taught us a lot. About ourselves. So some of the things that, you know, maybe you go, or if I just use myself as an example, you know, COVID was crushing in so many different ways, and it wasn't the cause of things. It more revealed things about people.
That's a good point.
But you know, it caused us all to be squished. And my friend, one of my friends who's a pastor says, you know, when people are squeezed, who they are at the time comes out.
Yep.
And so I think there are times during COVID, you know, as a leader that I felt squeezed by so many things. And I didn't always give people my best. I said something right. harsh. I may have not have been attentive or careful with people as I should have been. Or just, you know, I was pulled in so many different directions that I didn't give anybody the time that they really needed. And so yep. I wish I could do that better. And then in terms of just our church, I mean, we've had changes in leadership. We've had changes in mission. We've had lots of change. And sometimes it's challenging for people, you
yeah.
know, to adapt to change. And all of us, whatever leader was here during whatever era of LifePoint, you know, all of us wanted to honor Christ with the giftings and abilities that we have. And sometimes we have failed to do so.
Sure.
And we have to be willing to at least engage and evaluate that in a way that says, can I learn from this? Do I owe someone an apology? And do I need to repent of something? But at the end of the day, am I trying to become a better leader for the people that God has put in my circle of influence? And so that's why this question is actually the most important one. How do we learn and acknowledge our mistakes?
Well, it is. I mean, you've probably heard it said that if you find a perfect church, don't go there because you'll mess it up.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're all still broken. We're on the grow, which takes grace. And our area does have a history of people kind of jumping church to church, which isn't always bad. There's really good transitions at times from one church to another. But if we can support some of those better and just and be honest, I guess sometimes there's conversations that need to be had before we jump ship. You know, I've experienced that quite a bit of let's talk it through and at least at our church, we've had some great transitions. God called people to another church for good reasons, and we love that. We're all for it. So, Kyle, what would you say people will experience if they visit LifePoint? You know, as we were talking, that's one of the purposes I hope for this podcast is some of you listeners are new to town. You learned about this, you're church shopping, which is not all bad. There's different styles, as we talked about. We talked about what's unique. Well, we all kind of have the same mission. It's the Great Commission, but it looks different. So what will somebody experience? They pull into LifePoint, somebody parks them. What's that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great thing to have diversity amidst unity, right? Unity in Christ, mm-hmm. diversity of giftings and styles and stuff like that. I wish we could say you pulled up in the parking lot, we hand you a donut immediately. I'm hoping that'll happen someday. Or if you're on health, the carrots, that would be great. You know, it's great. Well, to give you a short kind of thing, I mean, our church is intentionally not designed to look like a church. It's a mm-hmm. warehouse. It's a big warehouse-looking building. And part of that is intentional to appeal to people who are non-Christians. You know, we believe in the Great Commission, just like you do in your churches, to reach people who are not yet here and disciple people who are. So you pull into the church parking lot, you know, you'll see a staff building, you'll see a big building that's a warehouse. Clearly that's where people are going in. There's obviously a big cross out front to show who comes first.
Yep.
Got a big lobby area, and a lot of it is geared towards, you know, we don't want to be offensive in our, in any of the things that we do that are not gospel centered, meaning any of the environments,
yep.
Or necessarily how we say something. And so a lot of the things that we do are meant to be welcoming, probably like most churches, you know. We want people to be comfortable. We want things to be nice. And we also want things to have a certain amount of excellence. We believe God and people yep. deserve our best. So you come in, it's a big warehouse. You'll go in. And this is one of the things we used to do because we really care about setting people's expectations. So one of the things we used to do before gathering is tell them what people experience. I'll do that with you now. As we would say, hey, our church service is about an hour long. It's going to be about a 35-minute message. You'll get about 25 minutes or so of worship. There is a welcome in between that tells you about what's going on in our church, how you can participate, what to expect, how to get involved. We point to some resources. The message is hopefully helpful and hopeful, biblically based. And then we send you home for lunch or for breakfast. You know, and there's a lot more than that. You know, we're a non-denominational church, and so we have a carefully thought through approach about how people experience things. And so, in fact, our vision for the weekend, you know, we want to create a great experience where people feel connected mm-hmm. to God and others, and they have a compelling reason to come back. Those are the three things we try to do.
Great.
And so we're okay with offending people with the gospel.
Yep.
We're not okay with offending people with who we are or how we approach people. So hopefully that's the best way I could say, experience wise. And if we're terrible that weekend, you only lost an hour of your time.
So somebody comes in with cut off jeans and a cut off flannel shirt.
Oh yeah. That's a great point.
People aren't going to look at them like, hey, you're weird.
No, probably most of them are like, I think I'm dressing better than the pastor. Like dudes in jeans and maybe a t-shirt. I haven't gotten quite yet where I can wear sandals on stage, but I want to do it.
Yeah.
So no suits or anything like that. If you come in one, we do have people who do that. That's totally fine. We ask that you wear clothes. That would be good. But no, we're not formal. No.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Anything else? What about, music? A lot of people wonder about music. What's music like here?
Yeah. I mean, contemporary, we try to play some of the things that are popular, but we do really care. We do think that the music is the other half of the message. So we believe that music communicates theology. And so we're probably a little bit more of a stickler about what the words say. So it can't just be catchy. It must talk about God in a way that is accurate and true.
So then that means you don't sing Reckless Love.
We do sing Reckless
Love. You do? Oh, my goodness.
And it's funny because we've talked about that before, is that like music is an art form and you cannot treat it like any other. I mean, if you look in the Old Testament, if you read the Psalms, like as a deer pants for the water, my God, you know. We're not trying to tell people you should be like a deer. That would be a literal approach. it's a poetic approach. But if there's something in a song that communicates something that we don't feel is either clear or theologically just inaccurate, even if it's catchy, we probably won't do it. Yeah. So our musicians are theologians. We believe that. Yeah.
I like it. So moving on, next question. Again, the title of this podcast is Kingdom Over Castle. And I had another pastor recently ask me, does that mean we shouldn't build our castles? And the answer is absolutely not. We want every church to grow, hopefully primarily through conversions, people getting saved. But collaboration would be great for us to get on the same team. So what does kingdom collaboration look like, do you think, between churches in our area?
Yeah, and in terms of collaboration, I mean, some of it is just having conversations and relationship between the leaders, which is what we're doing here and what we've been very intentional about. You know, you're far more likely to collaborate if you know someone.
Absolutely.
And so we're and the other one is obviously to have, you know, unity in Christ, you know, to kind of say, it doesn't matter what style or size of church you have, can we just agree that we're on the same team?
Yeah.
Even with some varying differences, either in theology, as long as it's not, you know, the bedrock stuff. But in terms of what collaboration looks like, I mean, we've attempted some stuff already, so I can give some real world examples. One of the cool things I think we've started doing because of you guys as well is sharing next steps that happen in other churches. Mm-hmm. So we put your logo and another church's logo on the screen. We shared baptisms. People clapped. They loved it because it wasn't cool. Like a, hey, look what's happening at LifePoint or look what's happening at Common Ground. It said, look what God's doing in these churches.
Yep.
So I think sharing next steps is a huge deal. I think collaborating in events, like, so we partner with Shine Church for Northern Nevada Dream Center.
Yep.
And people visually seeing two churches doing that is great. Coming together for things like men's retreats and women's retreats is a great thing as well. I even think just saying kind things in the community about one another.
Yes.
Both on social media, in person, I think it's a good thing as well. And then beyond that, you know, again, just something that's more challenging. It's just longevity. You know, some of it is just when you have pastors that move around and change, and sometimes you can't control this, but I think longevity, you know, will also breed some collaboration.
Sure.
So staying in the same area.
Yeah.
Could be good too.
Well, and I want to hone in on one thing you said that I think is huge. You said, just say nice things about each other.
Yeah.
It's true.
And they have to be true to be clear.
Well, yes. Have to be true. Yeah. Yes. They have to be true. Absolutely. But there's a lot of history between churches in the United States, probably around the world, of competition between each other. And, oh, here's why we're better. I love the idea of, actually, they're really good at whatever that is. And I've had those conversations with people at our church of, you know, if you like hymns, that church down the road might be, you like traditional, they're going to be better.
Yeah, and competition amidst churches is just, it's a dumb concept. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it would be like saying, like, I'm a 49ers fan. It'd be like saying, you know, part of our offensive line is against the quarterback. It just doesn't make sense. Like, it's like you're on the same team trying to go to the same goal. And so competition has no place if you are Christ-centered and about the mission that God has.
Absolutely.
So it has no competition. What it should be is complementary, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So like we're not a charismatic church. But one of the things we could do is we could say, hey, it doesn't mean that's a bad thing. There's another church over there that does that well. Let's make sure it's biblical. Yep. Let's make sure what we're doing is biblical, and encouraging people to do that rather than thinking. And I think COVID has actually helped somewhat in this sense, because there was the idolatry of bigger is better.
Sure.
Or attendance is king.
Yep.
And, you know, or next year when we do our 25th anniversary, one of the things we're going to say is, we don't think Jesus will ever come to us and say, you know, how big was your church?
Right.
What kind of events did you put on? I think he's going to be like, did you honor me? Did you have disciples? Did you feed the poor and the hungry? Did you get along with one another? Were you unified?
Yep.
That was the last thing he prayed for. So
that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the values at the church I serve at is sending capacity, not seating capacity.
Oh, it's great.
I'm just the idea of, and that everybody's sent. Mm-hmm. Are we doing, I mean, like you said, are we going to the community? Are we serving? Are we serving one another? We're sent, not just entertaining a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's true. And there are some people who are, like, if you're a newer Christian or not yet a Christian, there is a time for you to just come and sit and observe and take
absolutely. Yep.
You know, there are definitely a time for that where you're like, I want to figure out what a relationship with God looks like. I want to figure out if this church is the church I want to go to. But eventually you should get to a place where you are serving with whatever gifts God has for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what would you say are the dreams, your dreams, leadership dreams, people who've been at LifePoint a long time? What are the dreams as you look forward, say 10, 20 years, if Christ tarries that long? What are your dreams for LifePoint Church?
Well, the size dynamic thing is a real thing, because as long as you define it well, I mean, obviously, like your church, we want to reach as many people as possible. So growth for growth's sake is not on our radar.
Yep.
But, you know, if God were to say, hey, we'd like to help, we'd like to use your church as one of the churches in the area to reach 2,000 more people, well, of course we'd say yes.
Yeah.
Of course. So I'd say some of it is, you know, how do we, you know, expand God's kingdom with the influence that we have been given? How do we steward that well? I also think some of the dreams for leaders and impact have changed. So I'm just going to speak personally. It's amazing how many church leaders have toppled in the church world because of either personal circumstances, sin, or so. I almost think just if you have longevity in your community and you honor God and you don't have moral failures and you have preached the gospel well and you've attempted to make disciples, I think you've accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
And so some of it is, you know, is our church one of the trustworthy places that the community could go, you know what, I'll share their beliefs, but those are good people.
Yeah.
And they will take care of you, and they love our community. I mean, I guess the best what I could say is, you know, it's straight from scripture, you know, live such good lives that even the pagans, they honor God for what you do. So I think, man, if someone were just to come up to be like, I don't know who you are, I don't know your church, you know, that well, but I know your church has loved our community and we appreciate that. I think that might be good enough.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. So now is your chance to speak to other Jesus followers in the area, your church, other churches. What are resources, needs, opportunities that they should know about in our area?
Well, I think one of the big ones now is just that you can be a part of a church from anywhere now. You know, COVID has forced, in a good way, all churches to go online and to be able to provide hope through the gospel in a myriad of ways. So I think one of the things is there's an opportunity for you to find a church online first, no matter where you are.
That's a good point. Every church pretty much has stepped up their game when it comes to video. That's true. Websites are more the front door than they used to be even.
Yeah. So I think that, I think over and above everything else, I mean, being in a community of people who love God, there's just nothing like it. And so I think finding that first is probably the greatest resource that everyone needs. You know, all theology is relational, from God to us, from us to God, and from us to other people. In terms of other opportunities, I mean, obviously we have counseling here at LifePoint, and if that's something that people need, great. I would recommend Fish downtown in terms of physical and just kind of everyday needs. It's a good one.
And if you want to know more, one of our podcasts is an interview with Fish. So
yeah, cool. Jim's a great guy.
Log over, and listen to Jim.
Yeah. Northern Nevada Dream Center is another great organization. And, you know, besides that, you know, it sounds cliche, but like, you know, a Bible is still a great resource. You know,
a Bible.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's still, I mean, it still is. I mean, it's just like, it is always relevant, always helpful.
Yeah.
And always hopeful. And so, and you can get it anywhere. You can, you know, listen to it now. I highly recommend, if you don't want to read it, listen to it. There's tons of videos. I would do that as well. And then we also just have like a beautiful, we live in a beautiful place, Derek. I mean, it's pretty awesome. So I would say like getting outside is also a great way to appreciate God. Like it's like, cool, he made this for us.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We have this lake nearby, Tahoe, something like that. Yeah.
It's so inconvenient, 'cause it's like the largest, you know, what is it? The largest lake in North America. I'm trying to hike out there and there's this huge lake in the way, jeez, you know,
and it's
Alpine
so blue.
It's Alpine Lake. It is.
There,
it's disgustingly blue. It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, is there anything else you want to say to the listeners? Some are part of your church. Some aren't. Some are looking for a church. Any last words?
Yeah. Not so much our church specific, but you know, as a leader, probably like you, I'm trying to evaluate life in a post-COVID time, not only in my own household, and in our community, but in the church world. And I would say, you know, one of the alarming things is people think that they can leave their church and keep their faith in God.
Yeah.
And I think your relationship with the church is an indicator of your relationship with God. And that's not meant to come down as a hammer. It's more like there are a record number of people who have not gotten back.
Yep.
Not only in person, but watching online. And there is no substitute for Christian community. There just really isn't. So it's an encouragement. It's not a make you feel guilty. It's an encouragement. If you have not gone back yet, there are so many good churches in our valley and online. Yours is one of them. You know, there are so many good ones in our valley. Find one, commit to it. If it's ours, great. If it's not, let us know. We'll help you find one. But get in community. You're going to need it. I don't think we've scratched the surface yet on how COVID has like impacted people mentally and emotionally.
Oh,
and
absolutely. Yeah.
And so honestly, I think the best medicine for that is a community of people who know and love you and who know and love God.
I really appreciate that, Kyle. And I want to add one thing to it. I mean, one, if you're listening and you're not part of a church, you need people more than you think. But also for those of you who are part of a church, you might have neighbors or that are still COVID isolated. Yeah. That's still in their blood and they just need an invitation.
Yeah.
They need somebody to come grab them. They're not going to step out. So we have an opportunity to invite people back into community.
That's a great point. I mean, I think it's like, it takes like 7 asks for someone to come to church.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so odd. We'll tell everyone about the restaurant in the area, but it's only like 4% of people invite people to, don't quote me on the percentage. I can't remember what it is, but it's a very low percentage.
Well, 80% of stats are made up on the spot.
20% of me believes that's true. So yeah, but yeah, it is, you're so right. And that just goes into to show how community is so important. Your neighbor will trust your opinion on where to go to church. And so wherever you call my church, whether it's Common Ground, Life Point, Hilltop, any of the churches, High Sierra, in the Valley, PAX, or anywhere else, like, man, they're all good churches. You know, find one, go to it, commit, be really helpful.
I love it. Thank you for taking your time, Kyle.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And, anytime you'd like me to come on again, or just anytime I can say great things about you for people to hear, I'm happy to do so.
I appreciate it.
Because I really believe those things. You're doing a great job. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, and if you want more information, go to the show notes or go to the website, www.kingdomovercastle.com, and you can learn more about LifePoint Church.
Cool. Thanks for having me, man.
Peace out. Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Over Castle podcast. If your church is not represented on the website, we want to know about it. Please go to our contact form at our website, which is kingdomovercastlenv.com. Fill out the contact form, and we want to know about your church. We want to include you on the website so that people can find out about you. If you know of a serve opportunity in our area where believers can get behind whatever it is, please go to our website. Let us know about that. If your church wants to be included, and we hope you do, in our ongoing tracking of salvations in our area, please, again, go to our website at kingdomovercastlenv.com, fill out the contact form, and we will create an ongoing communication with you, with your church, so that we can know what God is doing. Serve opportunities, celebrations of salvations and baptisms, and all of that can be included on the website as well as on the podcast. So thank you for listening, and we want to know what God is doing. Thank you very much.
We pray revive this earth.